Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It's a very difficult day and a very, very strange day. We had set up a call ahead of today with John Day, who is well known to us here on Chai FM. He's an attorney in the US. And I wanted to actually ask him about 9/11 because, well, for us today is 9/11. For John, it's still a day ahead of it. But in the meantime, even having set up this interview to talk about that, something very, very significant has happened, of course, and it's what we've been speaking about, is the murder of Charlie Kirk, who is first and foremost a husband, a father of two, and he is an incredible voice. I believe that he could have been a leader in the U.S., if not the president. But it's also now about free speech, isn't it? Free speech is the cornerstone of American democracy. But somehow it seems to be under threat. John Day, a very, very good morning and good evening to you. Can we just start with the basics? What do we know at this stage about what happened?
Well, we know very little, if nothing, basically, about the person or persons that this manhunt is on for. There's apparently some video of somebody running across a roof. You know, this has echoes of the assassination attempt on President Trump. It looks like there was a shooter from a rooftop, unguarded rooftop. Charlie Kirk had a security detail around him, close proximity to him, but it doesn't look like there was much done as far as expanding the security curtain into things like checking the rooftops and so on. You know, Howard, this has been, I mean, the reaction here is there's just a sense of everybody is stunned. And I think it cuts across all the political spectrum. Charlie Kirk was an incredibly charismatic leader of a youthful conservative movement. He gave voice to a lot of young people who said, we felt like we were abandoned and ignored and mocked in the years and previous years. And Charlie Kirk was able to corral this young movement, young people, with charisma. I mean, what he was doing when he was murdered was he was engaged. He would do these things. He would go to college campuses. He'd go to schools. He would engage in discussion with people who were his political opponents and people who were very angry at him, but he would get out there literally in a crowd of people, a lot of people who disliked him, and he would engage in these discussions. He would have
hours.
And you know, it galvanized young people who felt like they didn't have a voice on the conservative side. They thought there were plenty of voices on the other side of the spectrum, of the political spectrum, but this guy was, he had friends on both sides. I mean, he was his language was strong. But you know what also he was an incredible friend of Israel as well.
Yes, yeah, he was.
Very, very strong way. And that leads me, I guess, to think that whoever the shooter is, we don't know a motivation, but is it something connected to him? He came out very strongly against the campus pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian protests. And I'm wondering if there's not going to eventually, ultimately, be some kind of connection there rather than just sort of a standard, oh, this was a left-wing person with a rifle. You know, the shooter was obviously someone who knew what they were doing.
Right. The visuals there were absolutely horrifying to see, and it was really quite awful. But there's been this build-up of pressure, of criticism of what's happening in the college, is happening in this element of politics. Do you think that this is potentially a tipping point? And if so, what can follow this?
I've been thinking about that all day, Howard, and I do think it is a significant moment, a tipping point, as you say. I mean, what I fear is that this is not this is the start of sort of a retaliatory back and forth, bumping this up to a level of political violence that we hadn't seen before, because the anger that this assassination has generated on the right against the left, I think it's like throwing a match on a pile of gasoline. So,
well, especially because this was feared. This has been something that the right has been saying, is that the left are working as hard as possible to shut down voices that disagree. We see it here in South Africa. We see it everywhere around the world. The left has moved to just scream and shout down voices. It's that simple.
To shut them down, and to demonize them, to
yes.
dehumanize them, to make it seem like political violence would be not inappropriate when you start dehumanizing that from that perspective. It's not such a leap to say, well, the next step then is going to be something like this assassination of an incredibly charismatic, popular, articulate, spokesman for young conservatives. And I think we're still in a state of shock. I don't think people have processed it. Both sides, of course, have come out and condemned it and so on. But the real meaning in this is going to be the loss of, for young, conservative-leaning young people, the loss of their
voice. A real voice and a leader. What I'm seeing happening is that more on the right we're talking about free speech, but on the left we're talking about gun control. And that's already, I've seen Stephen King, I've seen quite a few people in that space making this about gun control, which obviously deflects what I would believe is the real issue. Maybe they genuinely believe that is the issue. So the concern here for me is that we're not even arguing about the same things.
No, that's exactly right. It's the sort of the knee-jerk reaction was gun control rather than pointing to exactly what Charlie Kirk was doing, which was engaging in the ultimate act here in the U.S. of free speech guaranteed by the First Amendment, going out and not just free speech, not just preaching to the choir, as we say here, where you're talking to people who agree with your ideology. He was mixing it up. He was not afraid to go into crowds of people who disagreed with him, young people who may have supported the campus, the installments, the pro-Hamas protests, the shutting down the campus, on the left, the idea that you should shut down someone whose speech you disagree with and not let them speak. What Kirk was doing, and was so successful at it and so charismatic about it, was sitting down in a crowd of people surrounded by, sure, some supporters, but he was willing to sit there for hours and engage with people in a very, it was almost watching a Socratic law professor at work sometimes in some of the videos I've seen.
Is there, I don't know a lot about his organization. Are there others in the organization that can carry on, or was the organization really all around him?
Well, it was really all around him. There are, obviously there was a group of people. We haven't seen if anyone can emerge with the level of sophistication ability to sort of reach across different spectrums. The key thing for him, though, was this being able to organize and galvanize young people. And he was incredibly important to the Republican Party, incredibly important to President Trump. He wasn't afraid to criticize Trump also. I mean, he was willing to do that. He was very critical of Trump on this whole Jeffrey Epstein matter. So he was not afraid to do that. And I think that's sort of what appealed in a lot of ways to the younger conservative, to the kids that he's able to bring together, because they saw him as someone who was willing to speak the truth, even when it collided with, say, the Donald Trump administration version of things. So whether there's someone who can replace him, I think remains to be seen. But there's nobody really on the horizon who had that level of charisma, access, sophistication, and charisma.
So obviously, as you've said, everybody's in shock. The person hasn't been arrested yet. There is a lot of everything is out there at this stage, quite literally. What do you think is going to happen in terms of the debate around free speech, in terms of consequences, in terms of campus, in campus life? How would you think that this is going to play out?
Well, what my wish would be was that it cools off some of this feverish attempts to shut down speakers, for example, on campus who, generally it was right-leaning speakers who would try to come on a campus that was maybe more left-leaning, and they would be shut down. They would be shouted down. They would be, barred from entering. There would be this reaction to the idea that somehow speech is dangerous and needs to be something that's controlled. I mean, just the starting place for me and a lot of lawyers in my field is, the answer to speech you don't agree with is more speech. It's not shutting it down and shutting down the ideas. It's bringing out the ideas, having the clash of ideas. And that's what Kirk was so effective at doing.
John Day, this is where we do need to leave it. Very, very difficult indeed. But thank you for your thoughts. As John said, everybody's in shock at this stage. Very, very difficult to determine exactly what will happen.